Good morning. I'm Calvin Warfelin. It's a joy to speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be home in Granbury, Texas, after a four-week vacation and 6,000 miles on the road. During that vacation, we had two flat tires, two blowouts on the motorhome, and had to buy five new tires. I'm thankful to be home. Last week, I spoke to you from Fallon, Nevada, and the Lord has blessed us to come home safely now. During our vacation, we went to Yellowstone National Park where we had a family reunion. Then we traveled on to Glacier National Park and then on over to the Seattle, Washington area where my son is in the United States Navy. And we worshiped with the Central Kitsap Church of Christ there in Silverdale, Washington. And then we traveled down the Oregon coast. And it was so cool down there while it was 108 degrees in Granbury. It was so cool and cold on the Oregon coast that we had to turn on the furnace in the mornings to get warm. Well, we saw the redwoods, 297 feet tall, 21 feet in diameter. We even saw one that's been cut out in the bottom there in the middle so that we saw cars drive through the middle of the redwood tree. One of the oldest living things on earth, some of them 3,000 years old. Imagine 1,000 years before Jesus. In the time of David, they started growing. Wow. Well, we had a wonderful time. It's good to be back. And it's good to be with you on video. I love the West University Church. We spent 7 wonderful years with you from 2007 through 2014, and I pray for you every day. I know you're undergoing a preacher selection process, and I pray for the right thing to be done and the right man to be selected that will help you and you will bless him. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we have the God that we have. A God who loves and cares for us, a God who never forgets us, a God who always is there for us. And I've been recently doing some plain thinking about this God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the Bible says. You know, we as human beings, we grow and we learn, but God never learns anything. He's always perfect in every aspect. And God doesn't need us, and God doesn't we don't improve God, elevate God. God is the same, but he cares for us. And that's the greatest thought in the universe, that God is and that he loves me. And I'm valuable today and you're valuable, not because we're young or old or rich or successful or attractive, but because God is love. We are valued. We are valued by God. God knows the very number of the hairs on your head. He knows your DNA. He knows your fingerprints. He knows you as an individual. And he cares for you. And he knows me as well. I hope you're getting to know God better and better through a reading of the Bible, through reflection, through meditation, through prayer, and through fellowship with the saints as often as you can. I hope you're having a daily devotional in your home. You know, there were for years in our home, even as a minister of the gospel, that I was so busy with life that I did not take time to sit with Judy and have a daily devotional, a reading of the Bible, and some devotional thoughts and prayer. But I thank God that I've now realized my mistake, and we're trying to correct it in our life. And every day we have Our Daily Bread, a devotional guide. And you can have that on the internet at odb.org and get a devotion every day with a scripture reading. And then at prayer, take 5 to 10 minutes and longer. Also discovered in my boxes of books I have in the garage when I started opening some of them, I found a book by H. Norman Wright that I probably bought 25 years ago but had not even looked at. It's called Quiet Times for Couples, Daily Devotional Guide. And I've learned some things from there about God and about life. And I'm thankful for everything that God is teaching me through every means. Well, today we're talking about God's love and care and His concern for us. And probably this is best summarized in the book of Psalms, especially Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the most quoted, preached on, talked about, read, referred to scripture in the Bible. Psalm 23 is a Psalm of David. It's only 6 verses. It has 17 personal pronouns in it. It speaks of our relationship to God and how much God cares for us. There is not one command in Psalm 23. It's all about what God does for us and who He is as God. And all that does is to cause us to respond in love and trust. I remember when our son Rick, who is now 48 years old and a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy and a doctor of podiatry, when he came to me at 6 years old and said, "Dad, there's something in the Bible I don't understand." I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "It's why people don't want God." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you know, the Bible says, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.'" And he said, "Dad, why don't people want the Lord?" And then he said, "Oh, well, I think I know. It says He makes me lie down. You know, Dad, I don't like to lie down for my naps. Maybe that's why people don't want the Lord." Well, Rick was misinterpreting that first verse of Psalm 23, wasn't he? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd, He gives me all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, He supplies me with everything I need." Well, Psalm 23 is a powerful psalm of God's love, God's care, God's protection, God's provision, not only in this life, but in the world to come. Thank God for this beautiful psalm. This was a favorite of the early church as they sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And psalms were a favorite portion of scripture that Jesus referred to. And He said in John chapter 10, possibly in reference back to this, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I will never lose them out of my hand." The Lord takes care of us. Now, being a shepherd is an agricultural metaphor. It's talking in that society of David's day raising sheep. Now, I've never been around sheep, but I've read lots about them, and I've, of course, seen them. But I've never really intimately associated with them, never been a sheep farmer, never lived on a sheep ranch. But I'm told that sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd. That the only time they can find rest and peace is when they're near the shepherd. And that the shepherd represents life to them, provision, care, protection. "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice that word "my." There are 17 personal pronouns in 6 verses of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Not "the Lord is a shepherd." Not "the Lord is the shepherd." But "the Lord is my shepherd." There's a lot of difference between riding down the highway and say, "There is a bank," and "That is my bank." Or seeing a school and saying, "Well, there is a school," and saying, "That's my school." Or even in family and saying, "Well, that's a baby," and in saying, "That's my baby." So "the Lord is my shepherd," indicating a very close personal relationship. And notice the Bible doesn't say the Lord is my doctor, my friend, my economist, my engineer, my teacher. No, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd has a personal relationship to the sheep. And the sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. You know, I'm told that sheep cannot see more than 15 yards in front of them. They need guidance. They cannot find the green pasture. They cannot find water. They cannot heal their diseases. A shepherd takes care of them. And everything a shepherd is to sheep, God is to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. This speaks of God's care, God's concern for us. Especially when the Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, you are valuable to God. You're cared for by God. Not because you're rich and famous, or because you're attractive and successful, or because people know your name and of your career and your business. No. You're valuable because God loves you. And whoever you are, young or old, rich or poor, male or female, educated or relatively not educated, God loves you. God cares for you. You're valuable. You're so important to God that He laid down the life of His Son for you. You see, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So Jesus died on behalf of our sins. So we shall not want. We shall not want for anything we need because Jesus Christ supplies it totally. The great fact of the universe is that God is. God is. You ever go out at night and look up at the star-studded sky? You thank God from everlasting to everlasting. You know, we live in a cause and effect world. And we tend to think that, well, my parents brought me into the world. Or my grandparents brought them into the world. My great-grandparents brought them into the world. Who brought God into the world? A little child would ask. Who caused God? Well, God is from everlasting to everlasting. There's never been when He was not. He's perfect in all His attributes. Perfect love, perfect holiness, perfect justice, perfect truth. And God never learns anything. You can't elevate Him and you can't demote Him. You can't change Him. And our greatest responsibility is to get His will done in our life as He works in us to do what is good. God is. You look at those stars at night and think 250 million times 250 million bodies are out there of stars and planets, of solar systems and galaxies. Wow. God is. Then you take your hand and you scoop up a handful of dirt from your yard or roadside or from the garden. And the billions and billions of microorganisms in that handful of dirt doing what God designed them to do. And some of them are so complex that we have yet to understand all about them and what they do. Perfect unity, perfect order in the universe. Why? All because of God. And this God, this God is my God. This God is my lover. This God is my Savior. This God is my friend. This God cares for me. The Lord loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son to die for our sins. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live within each of us who are obedient to his gospel. He said, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. God is with us. God cares for us. God is our Lord. This psalm, then, is about trust in God. There are no commands in this psalm. It doesn't tell us something to do. It only praises God for who he is and what he does for us. Have you noticed that? One thing about me and my personality is that I'm a fix-it guy. I'm task-oriented. It's created a lot of problems sometimes in my marriage and relationship with churches. Because when people come to me, I want to fix them up. I've learned to say to my secretaries through the years, well, fix that up. That is, straighten out this mess or this letter or take care of this problem, fix it. Maybe that's why people won't come to me for counseling very much, because I have trouble listening. And after 5 minutes, I'm really ready to tell them how to fix their problem instead of trying to understand totally their feelings. Well, God doesn't tell us anything to do in this song. God says, yeah, listen. He is our shepherd. He cares for us. There's not one thing we need that God does not supply. He takes care of us in everything. And the Bible says we're like sheep. Like sheep. You know, I'd kind of be happy if God said I was like a tiger or a lion or a bear or a wolf or a deer. He says I'm like a sheep. Out of all the animals God made that I know anything about, sheep need more guidance, more care, more protection, more provision, and depend more on their shepherd, their caretaker, than any of the other livestock God has made. I find it interesting that when high schools and universities go to name their mascot, they call them things like wildcats, bobcats, buffaloes, eagles, wolverines, longhorns, tigers, owls, and even horned frogs. I don't know of any mascot that's ever been said the sheep. Oh yeah, there may be a fighting male ram, yes, but no one wants to be called a sheep. You see, sheep are helpless followers. They are dependent on someone else, on another, for their basic needs. They cannot take care of themselves. God says we're like sheep. And our behavior is so much like sheep. Our fears, our timidity, our stubbornness, our stupidity, and our perverse habits are so much like sheep. And yet, in spite of all of these things, God loves us. He chooses us. He saves us. He cares for us. He makes us his own. And he delights in us. Because God is our shepherd, we shall not want. That is, we shall not be in need of anything. Because everything we need, he supplies. And after verse 1, the next 5 verses of Psalm 23 tell us what he supplies and how he takes care of us. He gives us the basics like food to drink and water, food to eat and water to drink. He gives us rest to lie down in green pastures. He knows our every need. He wants us to rest in him. You know, we want to work. We believe 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh you shall work too. And we have a workaholic society because we get value from our work. If we're not producing something, we think we're worthless. But the Bible says, Christians are not always working. They're resting. The Bible says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We need to rest in the Lord. Come unto me, all you that weary are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. So the Lord wants us to rest in Him, to lie down in green pastures, to be led by still waters. I'm told that sheep will not rest unless four things are met. Number one, they must be free from all fear. Number two, they must be free from friction with others of their kind. Number three, they will not lie down if they're not free from fleas or from parasites. Number four, sheep will not lie down as long as they're hungry. Well, God makes us lie down in green pastures because all of those four things have been met in Jesus. Number one, He takes away all of our fears. With Him, we're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of life. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of the past. We're not afraid of the future or the present. The Lord is our help. We shall not fear. Number two, we are free from friction if we're following the Lord because we are at peace with one another. We love one another. We respect one another. We accept our uniqueness without competing with others. We don't squabble over our differences. You see, when our eyes are on the shepherd, we don't fight with the other sheep. And if the shepherd accepts those other sheep in the flock, so must I accept them. I praise God today that there's a great emphasis upon unity. Unity in the family, unity in the church, unity between people of all races and all ethnic backgrounds, because God loves all colors, all races, all ethnicities, and all languages, and we are at peace with one another. Number three, God takes away all the pesky spiritual flies and parasites that harm us and hinder us and sap our time and our attention and energy, and His peace and His presence and the healing oil of the Holy Spirit soothes and comforts our problems. And number four, we can rest because we're not hungry. The Lord supplies. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And that totally satisfies our deepest yearnings and longings. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we shall be filled because we found it in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, every emotional and physical and spiritual need has been met through Christ and what He provides for us. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God. I like the reading of the New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Notice here how the pronouns change from the third person, He, to the second person, You. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Amen and amen.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus, Father.